This is a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk.
Number 306.
You're listening to the RAB TGO Challenge. Part 4.
The 2010 event was blessed with incredibly fine weather as the 300 or so participants made their way during the month of May from the west to the east coast of Scotland. For those not familiar with this event, it is one which is totally unique in that it isn't a race or a competition. Its sole objective is the same now as it was over 30 years ago when it first started, to foster good fellowship amongst walkers within the framework of a challenging 200-mile expedition. And that is about it. You can approach the trip in any way you like. There are those who carry everything and travel through remote high areas, not meeting others at all, and walkers who use local bed and breakfasts and hostels and keep to well-trodden, easy paths. Most people do something in between and make it as easy or as hard as they personally wish. Routes are submitted and vetted for safety purposes and suggestions, and a small team in control track people as they amble their way, making sure rescue and advice is always at hand should it ever be required. I have had the unenviable task of editing the audio material gathered en route by Andy Howell and Shirley Worrell this year. Sadly, Rose and I didn't make it this time, and I hope I've compiled the material I do have in a way which is entertaining and informative. As you listen to this, it is worth keeping in mind that Andy enjoys a lightweight approach to his walking, and Shirley is, well, torn between stories of ghosts in haunted bodies and the finest of local foods. So her route was anything but direct to incorporate those interests. Walkers start on the west anywhere between Torridon and Ardrishaig and aim to finish somewhere between Arbroath and Fraserburgh on the east coast. Andy started at Dorney, while Shirley set out from Oban. They both recorded a wide range of interviews with people they met along the way, some of whom I have names for, and others I have yet to work out. However, by the time these podcasts are released, I'm hoping the show notes will contain all the missing details. So here we go. Let's just let the story naturally unfold as told by Andy and Shirley and those they meet on the RAB TGO Challenge 2010.
Well, we're in this warmer air. I mean, the temperatures, once again, will be above average for the time of year, but for most of us, we'll be without the sunshine we had yesterday. In fact, it's quite a different feeling day. The reason is a weather front that's been spreading in from the west overnight. Most of the rain will clear through the morning, but it'll leave a lot of cloud with some mist and drizzle lingering towards the west coast. The best of the sunshine will be across northern Aberdeenshire towards Inverness and over Caithness, and where the sun does get through, temperatures will reach 19, 20, even 21 Celsius, that's 70 Fahrenheit. And generally, it'll be a warm, muggy feeling day with very little in the way of wind.
Well, good morning, listeners. It's 20 past nine, and I've just left Dalwhinnie after a very warm and comfortable night in the bunkhouse, which is actually still labelled outside, I think, as the tea room and bar. As I mentioned yesterday evening, I got there quite late in the day, had a lovely meal at the Dalwhinnie Hotel, which still isn't open for residents, but I think started again yesterday for food. So anyway, slept quite well during the night. If anything, it was a little too warm in the room, so I sort of crawled out of the sleeping bag and lay on top of it and woke a few times, but it was quite comfortable. I finally woke up at about 6:30 and read a bit of my book, until my phone went off at 7 to wake me up because I didn't want a repeat of yesterday morning's oversleeping. So got up, started packing. As always, it took ages. And eventually I went over to have some breakfast at the bar because I'd heard that they were open from 7. Well, it seems they don't open as early as that, but certainly they were open when I got over at 8 o'clock or just after. Had breakfast with challenger Colin, who's also walking in this direction this morning. And he had the full deal, the bacon, the eggs, the black pudding and tomato and the various things, and very good it looked too. I had porridge and that was very nice, had a cup of tea which was welcome. And there's internet there, free internet for those of you who are thinking that you might go in the future. The bunkhouse isn't finished yet. Apparently they have 10 people coming tonight, so I'm sure they have a lot of work to do today, but I've no doubt that it will be a very welcome stopping off place for challengers and others passing through the area in the future, and particularly once they've got it up and running. Okay, so well, my plan, as I say, is to walk to Ackley, and I seem to recall from looking at my route sheet this morning that that's about 18 miles. Going via Bran Cottage, this is the bit that's caused me most anxiety when I've looked at the map in preparation for the challenge because of my navigational difficulties. And I'm feeling a little smug to have fallen upon a challenger clearly far better equipped than I am to navigate Colin, who I'm quite sure is going to take me straight to Bran Cottage and then in the right direction. So that's really cool. I'm very happy about that. Okay, so I'll probably stop at some stage during the morning to record something further. But I can't think of anything else to say at the moment, save to mention the weather, I suppose. So, and the lady in the post office from which I just sent some maps and stuff home told me that it's supposed to brighten during the day. So there we go, we've done the weather, and so I'll finish for now. Well, hello everybody. It's just gone 4 o'clock and I've had a very good day so far. Colin and I left Dalwhinnie this morning at about, I suppose it was 8:30, or no, it wasn't, it was about 9 o'clock, and enjoyed a very pleasant walk. Although there wasn't a path over quite a lot of the ground, we found that we were able to follow the route quite easily and made our way across to Bran Cottage. The ground in perhaps the mile preceding Bran Cottage was a little difficult because it was boggy, and despite all my best attempts, I got my feet wet in my nice, no longer gleaming Terrock 308s. But it was okay. We got to Bran Cottage and walked up the little path, turned right and walked up the path to the bridge, and we stopped on the bridge and each made a drink, had a little bit of lunch, and had took the opportunity to see to our feet. So I applied some more of Bob's Magic Gerwal Axle Grease Cream, and they're feeling a little bit better now. So anyway, we parted at that point, and I struck off across the hills along a track which is just about petered out now, and I'm about to turn and walk on a bearing of about 45 degrees towards the foot of the Cairngorms, to a place that's just off the map, just off the map that I have in front of me at the moment, but it's called Orclean or Orclium or something like that, and I reckon it's probably going to take me another couple of hours to get there. The weather has been similar to that we had this morning, I suppose, although it's a little warmer now than it was first thing. We have actually had some patches of blazing sunshine again, but we've been very lucky and there hasn't been any rain. There's virtually no breeze. The walk across the little bit of moor that I've been doing recently has been particularly nice because, well, in wet weather it wouldn't be nice, it would be very boggy, but because the ground is so dry at the moment, there are just intermittent patches of bog which are fairly easy to avoid. But I've come across several frogs just sitting around happily, contemplating, presumably, in the middle of patches of, wet green stuff. And I've been able to get quite close with the camera, so I hope that when I get home I might have some nice, interesting pictures of frogs. So, well, there we are. There's not a great deal to report, really, but I just thought I ought to stop and say something. And so I'm going to bring this recording to a close now and strike off on my bearing and hope that I meet up with the track or the path that I ought to find about 2 kilometres away from here. And I can then follow that towards the place where I'm hoping to put the tent tonight. And then tomorrow night I hope to be at Rivo and Bothy, communing with the ghosties. And the night after that, depending upon the weather and whether or not I can take my ideal route or have to take my foul weather alternative, I hope to be somewhere up in the vicinity of Ben McDooey. If the weather was perfect, of course, I'd like to camp on top. But otherwise, maybe at Loch Etchican or the Hutchison Memorial Hut, somewhere around there. And then after that, down to Braemar. So it's still a few days ahead for me, but already I'm beginning to form interesting mental pictures of fish and chips and pints at the Fife Arms, and reunions with friends, some of whom I saw almost a week ago, others I saw within the last couple of months, and some I haven't seen for a year or more. So very much looking forward to that. Okay, so well, there you go. That's that from me for now. It's 6:45, and it's me again. Still walking. When we last spoke, I was about to head east off a bearing, and I did that, and of course, looking at the map, I could see that I was going to be crossing the shoulder of something not terribly steep, and I should have anticipated heather bashing, but I wasn't really thinking, but heather bashing is what I then kind of endured for probably a couple of hours, really, possibly a little bit more than that, and it's always hard work. I mean, I suppose I've had worse heather bashing in the past, but it was hard enough, so it eventually took me out at a sort of wonky and derelict little old hut on the, this isn't properly pronounced, but the Altan Dube Chada or something like that. Funny looking little place. Not sure how long it's been in that condition. But anyway, at that point, changed the bearing a little and walked on through bogs, which became boggier and boggier, till I came to streams in search of a path which was meant to lead to a track. I realised afterwards, not that it mattered, that I actually missed the path. It must have been very indistinct. I think it may have been one of those sort of, you know, when you go and cross a grassy bit and it drops down about 3 or 4 feet into quite a wide depression that looks as though it might have been made by some sort of, well, quadruple-sized tractor or something, and then grassed over. So I don't know whether that was the track, but anyway, it didn't matter, because I pressed on through the boggy streams, and eventually I could see the path ahead of me, sort of curling round the low reaches of Annock Moor. So I got onto it, and life became a lot easier very quickly. Downhill initially, beautiful views of the Cairngorms ahead of me, quite exciting. Not as snowy as I thought they might be. I mean, of course there is snow. But it's not a sort of comprehensive covering, as I suspect it has been, even quite recently. I brought my micro spikes in case I need them, and I may still need them, of course, once I actually get into the Cairngorms. But based on what I can see at the moment, I suspect they'll be staying in my pack, which is, I suppose, a good thing. Anyway, I'm now on a broad sort of compacted clay sort of path. I've passed one of the two woods that I have to pass before I, arrive more or less in the what I think must be the upper reaches of Glenfeshey. I've never been to Glenfeshey before. I've heard it's very beautiful. I hope on another occasion, possibly next year, to go south when I get to the point that I'll be arriving at today, so that I can walk past Ruatshichun, I can't say it, but I'm sure that any challengers out there know where I meant, which I've also told is exceptionally beautiful, although perhaps a little churned up at the moment. Anyway, not going there this time. That's where Colin's gone, incidentally. He's probably there now in his tent, feet up, having eaten his supper, contemplating life. If you are, Colin, and if you ever listen to this, then I'm thinking of you sitting in your tent while I'm trudging along stony paths. Not that it's unfair or anything like that. Anyhow, getting back to my route. So I'm walking along, and I'll be in the upper reaches of Glenfeshey. And then I think what I need to do is to find a little bridge, not the one that isn't there anymore, but a different one. And so I just paused for a moment because I heard a kind of rumbling behind me, which I hope is an aircraft and not distant thunder. I think it is an aircraft. I don't mind thunder, but I don't like lightning. Anyway, just walking a little faster now, just in case. So, yeah, I get to that bridge and get across. And then just about, I don't know, 500 metres up on the other side of the burn, I hope to find Aclean or Aclium or whatever it's called. I'm not sure what's there, if indeed anything. But that's kind of where I'm proposing to camp tonight, and it got past my vetter, so I assume it exists. Okay, well, that's that then. It's hard to believe, really, as I sort of come to the brow of another small hill and see the Cairngorms unfolding magnificently before me, that that I'm here already, because it really does in many ways feel like only, well, day, really, since I left Oban. Although this is now my Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This is my sixth day of walking, incredibly. I'm hoping that I might meet up with Andy Howell tomorrow, because I know that his plan was to go to Aviemore, and he hadn't quite decided how he was going south. I've been attempting to persuade him to meet me at Rhyvone Bothy. Anyway, well, as I say yet again, there we go, that's it for now. Which turns out to be a derelict building. The doors all appear to be boarded up. I haven't tried to get in yet. I may have a try in the morning. But it's a little old building with a wall around the back, and I'm sort of camping in a rather tusky field. But I've camped very comfortably in tusky fields in the past, so I'm hoping that I'm going to have a good sleep tonight. It's turned into the most gorgeous evening, even though it's after 9 o'clock. It's still absolutely bright, and when I first sat down here, there was quite thick cloud on the mountain directly in front of me. But as I've been sitting here, that's kind of gradually rolled away and revealed all sorts of patches of snow. And a little while ago, I suppose it must be from the sun setting behind me, there was a beautiful rosy glow illuminating the mountains and also the strip of pine forest at the foot of them. Again, just in front of me, the pine forest must be, I don't know, 100, 150 metres away. Absolutely gorgeous. And if I look to my right, I can see that the sun is still illuminating some distant mountain down there. Won't attempt to identify it. I'm not sure I've got the map, and even if I had the map, I probably couldn't tell which one it was. Up to my left, in the direction of Aviemore, things look a little less rosy. Maybe it's already dark there, I'm not sure. Anyway, there you go. I'm sitting around just about to eat my tea. I've had some French onion soup, and I've just started the Thai chicken and chicken green Thai curry porridge stuff that I made last week from Andy Howell's recipe. I think I put a little bit too much water in, so it's a bit sloppy. It tastes okay. I hope it tastes all right, because I've got two more of those and one more of the stews. So it seems to me I'll be eating quite a lot of Thai chicken curry before I get to Braemar. So maybe I'll have the stew tomorrow, because that was absolutely delicious. Okay, well, I'm quite tired now, as you may be able to detect. And so I'm looking forward after tea to getting into the tent and getting into my bedclothes and into the sleeping bag and settling down with my book, Into the Wild. I may be making some inroads into it before I fall asleep. Tomorrow I'm off to Rhyvone Bothy. That reminds me, I must attempt to text Andy just to see whether he's planning to go that way. It'll be 20 miles. Today was about 18 or 19 miles, and the day before was similar, so I'm pretty tired now. There have been long days, but they've been necessary in order to get here by this time. So because I've got a longish day, I hope to make an earlier start. If I can get away before 9, that'll be good. All right, well, good night, everybody, and I will speak to you in the morning. Good night.
Once again, we'll see above average temperatures today, and in fact, many of us are starting the day already into double figures. For Western Scotland, it's a damp, misty and rather murky start, with a thick blanket of cloud producing some patchy drizzle. Mist and fog will linger along western coasts, with some low cloud over Shetland. Rain will become confined to the northwest this afternoon, with some brighter spells developing across Galloway, Ayrshire, Lanarkshire and the Glasgow area.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's 6:30 in the morning, and I seem to have woken to another, well, hopefully fine day. Certainly it's thus far a dry day, and the signs are looking good outside. I slept well after recording the voices that I heard in the middle of the night. I woke up about an hour ago, and I felt quite awake. So whereas I would normally turn over and go back to sleep, I didn't this time. I got up and made some hot chocolate, and I've been reading. And I just turned the page onto a new chapter, but then it occurred to me that I was about to lose the benefit of having sort of, well, not exactly got up, but woken and stayed awake early for once. So I'm going to put away my book, and when I've recorded this, I'll finish my hot chocolate and then start packing up. And it would be great if I could actually be on my way by about 7:30 towards Rivern, because then even if I do have a very long day, it still shouldn't be longer than, it shouldn't be later than 6:30, I would hope, by the time I get there, which isn't bad at all. I intend to go over and have a look at the building, the derelict building next to me, to see whether there's anybody inside or whether indeed there is a tent on the other side. That's something that lies ahead of me when I've packed up the tent. But if there isn't anything there, then I'll be very hard-pressed to explain how it comes to be that I heard the voice so very clearly and what sounded like so very closely at 12:30 in the middle of the night. But anyway, I've no doubt that there could be another explanation, but I suppose that still the most likely explanation is that the building is in fact open and that there are, well, two or more people over there. Okay, well, there we are. Goodbye from me.
Hello, it's day 7 and catching up a bit after no podcast yesterday on day 6. Day 6 was a long day, an early start from Glen Mezzelam. Over the mountains to the Dalbeg, and then over the Burma Road into Aviemore. Again, stunning scenery. The monolith never really lets you down, I don't think, although you have to be prepared to traipse on. And last night was spent at Coilin Bridge campsite with more than a few colleagues. We had a pleasant evening. Today most people have headed up the Larry Grew, and there are a whole variety of different routes which have been affected by snow. Some people wanted to go up Ben MacDuey. My route took me through the Fords of Avon and then over the side of Peaks to Ben Aig, and I decided not to do that because the snow was so thick. We've had, I don't know, 3 or 4 days of stunning sunshine, so the snow is disappearing fast. But not fast enough to give you some real excitement, so I'm sitting here now after just walking through the Larry Grew. I'm just a little higher than Coorabuffy. And I thought, this is the day to do the Larry Grew. The weather forecast is good, and so it was. I'm sitting here, there's virtually no wind. Visibility is absolutely perfect, still bits of blue in the sky. And it was like that all the way climbing up to the top of the Larry Grew when we had a bit of a surprise, rather a lot of snow still dumped there. So rather than a walk through boulder fields, this year the Larry Grew has been a walk through snow fields. Slows you down a bit, but at least you don't have to clamber over as many of those boulders. Anyhow, it's a kind of perfect day. And this is the first time I've really been able to walk through the Larry Grew and have a really good look at it. Look at the sides, I've taken lots of photographs. Most people have sped on ahead of me now. So I'm heading off to Derry Lodge, where a number of people will be camping, I guess. And then tomorrow it's into Braemar. So you won't just have to listen to me tomorrow, but I'll have lots of other people who are stacking up ideas and things, or I've got bits and bobs they want to tell you about. Anyway, so this is me in the Larry Grew, and I'll speak to you hopefully from Derry Lodge.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's 1:30, and here I am at the infamous, or famous anyway, Cairngorm Footbridge. After a pretty fantastic morning, started a bit dull, but it's become brighter, and there have been periods of, once again, almost Mediterranean sunshine. So I sort of sat down to have a brew, and I heard coming across the bridge behind me somebody else carrying a large rucksack. Well, I didn't actually hear him because I think I was singing along to the Beatles embarrassingly, but anyway, I sort of became aware of the fact that somebody was looking at me oddly, and it turns out to be another challenger, and it's Ian, I think.
No, it's actually Jim, Doha Jim, all the way from Qatar. And absolutely delighted to meet She Piglet, or Pig Wiglet, a wee wee, wee what, a very, very, very famous, notorious challenger. So it's been a real pleasure sitting having a chat with her. I could concur with everything which you said about the weather. It's just been a fantastic day so far. Really quite easy walking up from King Yusi, through the forests, very, very nice, very nice underfoot. We've all got one or two little aches and pains, but nothing too tremendous. Looking forward to getting down to Braemar, a day off, and get cleaned up and get all the blisters seen to, and then off we go. So it's been great. Very nice to meet Shirley, I must say.
Thank you very much for that, and I'm sorry for calling you Ian. I'm just hopeless at names. It's just dreadful. And then you told me your name 5 minutes ago. I'm very sorry. Just tell us quickly, where did you start then, and what are your plans for tonight and the route after Braemar and so forth?
Well, I started at Torridon and made my way down to Drumna Drocket, and then came over the Mona Leith with another couple of famous challengers, Morpeth and Croydon. Croydon, a very, very late entrant. Stayed with a friend of mine in King Yusi last night, which was very nice. Heading to Braemar and then over Jock's Road, which I haven't done yet. I did Lochnagar last year, so I'll do Jock's Road this year. Down to Tarside for a few in the Mason's Arms, and then Mount Bantock and the Fetareso Forest, if I can find my way out, and finishing at Dunottar. And then a nice, quiet bus run down to Montrose. And then the dinner, which again I'm thoroughly looking forward to. It really is a not-to-be-missed experience, this, and it's well worth coming quite a long way to do it. So there we go.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Jim. Not Ian, but Jim, for that. That was absolutely brilliant. So, while Jim fastens up his pack, I'm going to start putting my things back together again now. They're sort of littered all over the floor at the moment. Poor little Pea Wiglet hasn't even been out of his bag, actually, for any lunch. I'll have to find him a couple of crumbs from the floor. I realise I've eaten the last of my lunches. I forgot to stock up, so I finished the sort of organic rye sprouting loaf thing with Primrilla yesterday, and I've just eaten the last three fig rolls. So hopefully I'll be nice and skinny by the time I get to Braemar. I have to stock up on... perhaps I'll have the stew tonight, since I wasn't that impressed with my Thai green curry last night. Okay, well, I hope everybody's having a good time. I still hope to see lots of people at Rivone later. In particular, I hope to see Andy Howell. And Andy, if you don't make it to Rivone Bothy, then there'll be trouble, basically. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody later. I've no doubt that at some stage later in the day, record something further. But for now, at approximately 1:35 at the famous Cairngorm Footbridge, it is goodbye from...
Jimbo!
And goodbye from me.
It's the evening of day 7 at Derry Lodge, which is always a very special kind of camp spot. Nice, very flat pitches, lots of space, lots of trees if you want to camp in trees. Easy water to get hold of. And I'm with Stephen Horner, who's been walking for a while with Phil. Phil's still here. Stephen's just threatening to put together some kind of traditional Finnish poisonous tea, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Stephen, your first challenge. Are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, it's been good fun. A few hard days, but been good fun overall.
Yeah, today was a hard day for me, but you just battle on, don't you? And you know, you wake up in the morning and somehow it all just seems a bit better.
Definitely. And my feet's been hurting a bit over the last few days, but say once you get a drink inside you and get set off, it's okay.
So what's been the most, what's been the overriding impression so far of Scotland and the country and the terrain that you've been walking through?
I've done a bit of walking before in Scotland, but some of it's been quite lonely at times, like no one around or anything. But I quite enjoyed that, bit of solitude. But today was interesting through the Larry Grew. Snow in May. So, but good fun.
A lot of it, yeah. The most obviously interesting thing about Steve, I mean, there must be lots of interesting things about Steve, the most obviously interesting thing about Steve, quiet aside, is the shelter, which is enormous. It's not quite a tarp. So tell us about the shelter, Steve.
Well, I actually saw Phil Turner with it first, and I think Colin Ibbotson also have one. It's a Mountain Laurel Designs Trail Star, which there's only me in it, but you could fit, well, easily two, probably up to four if you pitched it right in it.
And it's a very simple pitch, isn't it? I mean, although it's a tarp, it's shaped around five sections, I think? With a pole in the middle. It doesn't have a door, an entrance. It's not a tent that goes completely down to the ground quite the same way the Duo Mids have. But this is a bomb-proof shelter, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen actors that are moving quite a bit in the wind, and this just doesn't move whatsoever.
Yeah, it's a very, very sturdy piece of kit. Weighs about 600 grams, I think, is that right?
Yeah, it's just under 700, I think. So it's light, certainly compared to my usual actor.
Yes, it's half the weight of the actor, and in a sense, this can be used as an all-year shelter. I know Colin uses his when he has his pack raft. And he's able to get his pack raft, his kit and his supplies and himself inside as well. Absolutely huge, huge tent. Now, tell us about this Finnish speciality that we're just about to sample.
Well, we went, myself and Phil Turner went to Finland a couple of weeks ago. And while we were there, we got introduced to some Minttu, which is basically a mint liqueur that's about 50% proof, I think. So we usually mix that with a bit of hot chocolate.
That must sound good, because Phil actually did offer me a taste of that the other day. Some of you may have tasted Chartreuse, the kind of French mint liqueur made by strange monks in the north of France. I tell you, that was positively mild compared to this stuff. So they mix it with chocolate, and you get presumably a kind of minty chocolate, like a kind of liquidy after eight thing.
Yeah, well, that's a good description. It is like an after eight mint, but with a bit of a kick.
A bit of a kick. The smile on that face says it all. Well, I'm going to leave Steve to continue brewing his mint too. Also at Dairy Lodge's Daniel, who started with me at Dorney. Daniel, first challenge, impressions of so far?
Very good, yeah. Especially the weather. The weather's been excellent.
Yeah, don't count on that if you want to come back again. But what have been the highlights for you so far?
I think the highlights were the first couple of days, going up to Iron Lodge after Dorney, camping quite high up, and then coming along the ridge north of Loch Molodoc, I think it is, over to Cannock. That was a really hairy day, really good. Wind's up to about 60 miles an hour. And, snow and sleet and basically four seasons in one day. So that was the best part, I think.
Yeah, that was the day that Phil and I decided not to go up high. But you had more courage than we did.
We did, yes. And luckily four of us did it, so we were able to help each other along and got down to Cannock not long after, a couple of days later. And basically since then it's been pretty easy going.
Now, the challenges are quite an unusual blend of adventure and socialising. Most people find that the socialising bit of it has come as a bit of a shock, but you've been enjoying yourself so far?
Yeah, I think everyone's got time to talk to each other. I think there could be a bit more whiskey sharing, actually. You know, I think, you know, people note for future, bring more whiskey flasks. But apart from that, no, it's been fine, it's been great.
There'll be enough whiskey to share at Braemar.
I'm sure there will, maybe Lochalotur as well. But yeah, the social side of it is, I think, actually the highlight of it after the scenery and the mountains.
Yeah. Now tell us a bit about the kit you've got this time.
Well, I decided 2 days before I actually came on the trip to bring along a Hilleberg Acto that I had, which I'd not used before. And it was in place of something called a Hellsport Ringstind too, which was a little bit heavier. So this Acto is a little bit lighter, and I must say I'm really impressed with it. Along with that, I've got a Neo Air mattress, which is superb.
Yeah, these seem to be becoming the standard challenge mattress now.
I think so, especially since they seem to have solved any issues they had with the first sort of batch that they made. And they are just so warm, and if anything, too deep, too comfortable. because you've then got to get a pillow or something underneath your head to bring you up to the same height, and it's quite difficult.
First ever little bit of criticism I heard of the Neo Air. So Neo Air and ACTO, almost a complete challenge. So into Braemar, obviously, for the revelries there.
That's right. Friday night we've got the Cayley happening in the Village Hall, which was kindly put on the website reform board by Doug Bruce. So anybody, you know, who's got a spare bit of energy and any unblistered feet, I'm sure we can, you know, get them to take part in that.
There's something almost sadistic about planning a Cayley at the end of a long stint of challenge days. But and then Saturday night we've got the legendary Braemar rock and roll band Bingo Rings.
So I hear, yeah, that's up at one of the hotels, isn't it? So that sounds good. Apparently it's the local band and they're quite good.
Braemar's best rock and roll band, Braemar's only rock and roll band. There we go. And then from Braemar, it's obviously then you're kind of on our way home there, but which way are you going to make your way to the coast?
Well, it depends, first of all, how, you know, how I feel, but I had got penciled in Loch Allerta Lodge, but I'm not sure whether I'm up for it.
Your constitution is up for that.
Exactly.
So when you get to Braemar, you'll realise there are some really hardened professionals there.
Exactly. So I might have to wait till my second or third challenge before I think I'm able to attempt that one. But yeah, basically up Loch Nagar, over to Shilin Mark, hopefully Mount Keen, and then Tarfside. You know, and then through the Federeshi Forest, off to Dunnottar Castle, or Dunnottar?
Yep. Dunnottar Castle.
Yeah, and then that should be it, hopefully, for Thursday, Dunnottar Castle.
And then an amble down to Montrose, and the revelries begin then.
That's right, the end of the challenge revelries, which should be very good.
Well, Daniel, we'll maybe catch up with you again in Braemar.
Yeah, lovely.
Just make sure you're still standing, really.
Exactly.
Have a good wandering.
Thank you very much, Andy.
So I'm back with Steve and Phil now, and they made their mint two, or whatever, chocolate. I'm just about to sample this. Wow. It is a bit like drinking a kind of liquid after eight on steroids. But you do get a kind of, before you kind of put it into your mouth, you get a smell of something incredibly alcoholic. I mean, it's almost like the meths from your stove.
It probably is about 50% proof.
So. I think it's illegal in this country.
Oh, well. I wonder if this could be the start of a new challenge tradition. Hot chocolate made with Mintu finish liqueur. God, that's powerful. That might even have Alan Sloman stopped in his tracks.
I find that hard to believe.
I reckon if you took that up to Calata Lodge, that would become a staple for years to come. Anyway, thanks, lads, and I shall just now savour this, and we'll say good night, Bob.
Good night, Bob.
Good night, Bob.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's 7:10, and I'm at Rhyther and Bothy, finally. I've been keen to see it for ages, and so here I finally am. It's been a pretty fantastic day. I only recorded a brief thing at lunchtime because I wanted to grab Jim before he left. But really, it's been a very good day indeed. I had a bit of a nightmare, really, actually getting away from the tent. Despite getting up, or rather waking up and beginning to read at 5:30, it was still 8:00 by the time I picked up the rucksack to leave. But unfortunately, I found myself kind of trapped by the little river, and with no way of getting over the fence other than by following it back to the point at which there was a gate, at which point I had to take off my shoes and put on my sandals because the stream was, more or less knee-deep at that stage, and I didn't want to walk through in my shoes and socks. And so I did that, but, you know, didn't take very long to take the shoes off, put the other ones on. And I then set off on what turned out to be a really good path that turned very quickly into a road, which I followed to Feshey Bridge, and I think it was at Feshey Bridge by about 10:00. So that was fantastic after yesterday's long afternoon of heather bashing, which was very slow. This morning I made rapid progress. So from Feshey Bridge, I pressed on and managed to navigate. I was very relieved and quite impressed with myself, really, for having managed to navigate through the forest along the various tracks. There were a couple of points at which I was a little confused, but I did arrive in due course at the Cairngorm footbridge at 1 o'clock, which is when I'd hoped to be there. I set off on my own and continued the walk along beautiful little paths. I love those paths that there are in the Rothiemurchus Forest. Not terribly broad, but lots of sort of compacted pine needles underneath, and so nice and soft for tired feet, with little fir trees, or maybe they're pine trees, I suppose, at the side of the path. And at one point I noticed, just as I was passing, I noticed what I first thought was a clump of mud, but I stopped to take a closer look, and it turned out either to be a huge morel mushroom, or I seem to recall from the mushroom book that there is also a false morel. Anyway, once I'd seen one, as is the way with mushrooms, I suddenly saw lots of them. And thinking that there might be somebody here at the Bothy who was able positively to identify them one way or the other, I brought a couple with me, because if they were real, I'd very much like to eat them. Because when I arrived, I found Ron Reynolds camped outside and nobody else at the Bothy. And I came in to have a look, and it's quite a nice room. It's just one room, whitewashed, and a little sort of covered porch, which I think, well, it's got the usual Bothy spade and the Mind Your Head sign that I'll just pay attention to, and a nice stash of wood that somebody's thoughtfully left here. I think it's perhaps been recently painted, which is very good. It's good that the MBA, of course, put in all the effort to make places smart for us. But I just don't really like the smell of fresh paint, I think it might be whitewash, actually. The reason that I wanted to come to Rhyvern Bothy is because I've read interesting stories about it harbouring a ghost. Over on the Mountain Bothy Association website some years ago, there was an active forum. There used to be postings on there by people who were members of the MBA talking about experiences that they'd had in here. And I definitely remember that at least one person spoke about a dog that became extremely unhappy in here and had to be allowed to go out in the middle of the night. He refused to stay in the room. Some people scoff at those stories, and others accept them all at face value. And then there's those of us who find them very interesting. Having said that, I got here. I don't detect any malignant atmosphere. Well, I don't consider myself to be sensitive to these things, fortunately, because I certainly wouldn't like to be wandering around sensitive to every scary atmosphere that was going. But, you know, it seems a pleasant enough place. I'm just looking around the room and I can't see any sign of anything that's sort of actively off-putting. I didn't feel like sleeping here, but I think that's got as much to do with the fact that there aren't any sleeping platforms as anything else. Had there been sleeping platforms, then I might have slept here. But probably not, because of the smell of paint that I mentioned before. So I thought I would do the same as Ron and go and put my tent outside. The weather, I think I mentioned at lunchtime, had continued to be good, and indeed it's continued to be good this afternoon. Beautiful at times, really bright sunshine and very hot. Just not long after Ron and I had put our tents up, you couldn't exactly call it rain. It was more like a little bit of low cloud descended, and so there was a bit of sort of almost rain in the air, but that was only for 5 or 10 minutes or so. It wasn't even strong enough for me to bother to close the inner tent. I just stayed where I was sitting in the porch, drinking my soup while I waited for my food to rehydrate. I'm hoping that I'm going to be very lucky and that we're going to get at least one further day of magnificent weather so that I can get up onto the tops tomorrow. I haven't ever been up onto Ben McDooey. I haven't even been up to Loch Arn when I've been here in the past. I've been in the Larry Group, so I very much hope that I can follow my preferred route tomorrow, which is to walk up to Loch Arn via, I think it's the Strathnethy, and then walk along the south shore of Loch Arn and sort of round it at the top near the Shelterstone, which I've never seen and probably won't see tomorrow, but I'm sure I'll have a little look for it, and then up to Loch Etchen. And then, you know, if the weather's still good, I might leave my pack at Loch Etchen and walk up onto Ben McDooey, or if the weather's perfect, I'll take the pack up with me, because ideally I'd like to camp up there, just so that I know that I've done it, and so that I can keep an eye on any activities that the big grey man may be conducting up there tomorrow evening. But anyhow, I hope to camp Ben McDewey or Loch Etchertown or the Hutchison Memorial Hut, if the weather is good, in one of those places. So that's only going to be a relatively short day. I don't think that'll be more than 12 miles. So after the days I've been having, that should feel almost luxurious, because almost every day I've had so far has been somewhere approaching 20 miles, which has been doable, but tiring nonetheless. That's the last from me for today, and I'll record something else in the morning. And so for now, good night.
By day 7, most challengers have stopped carrying their rucksacks and started wearing them. Their feet are now hardened to the long days of walking, and their soul is fully cleansed, ready for the full delights of Braemar and the warm welcome which awaits them. Although there are still several days to go, there's always something of a joyous feeling of celebration when entering the town's limits. The weekend will see many smiling faces as friends are reunited, food and drink are consumed in ever greater portions, and stories increase in volume with every pint of beer. A more detailed account of their crossing with pictures and kit lists, etc., can be found on their blogs. Andy's is andyhowell.info. Shirley's is pwiglet.com. Plus, of course, the website dedicated to the event itself, tgochallenge.co.uk.
Join us next time as the journey across Scotland continues on the TGO Challenge. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear more from our extensive free library, please visit the website at theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
You can now follow The Outdoor Station on Facebook, where we chat about each programme we produce, answer questions and discuss future productions. Why not join us there?
This podcast is produced and hosted by theoutdoorstation.co.uk.